Welcome back to another episode of the Dad Gone Wild podcast. Hope you've had a good week. It's certainly been a good week in the education world as some bad bills have gone down in flames in the Tennessee House. We'll get to those in a bit. We also have great news from Knoxville about their search for a new director of schools, along with some news about MNPS's new budget, a scheduled meeting to discuss Metro Nashville's plans for the gifted program, and maybe a few other goodies. But let's start with national news first. President Trump has released his first proposed budget, and not surprisingly, it holds very little good news for kids in poverty. In one of those tell-us-how-you-really-feel moments, Director of the Office of Budget Management, John Mulvaney, explains why President Trump's proposed budget would cut funding for various programs.
They're supposed to be educational programs, right? I mean, that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to help kids who don't get fed at home get fed so they do better in school. Guess what? There's no demonstrable evidence they're actually doing that. There's no demonstrable evidence they're actually helping results, helping kids do better in school, which is what, when we took your money from you to say, look, we're going to go spend on an after-school program, the way we justified it was, these programs are going to help these kids do better in school and get better jobs. And we can't prove that that's happening.
To be clear, we're saying, the administration with this budget is saying that no after-school programs out there are doing their job in helping educate these children.
No, but I don't, now you're asking me a question I don't know the answer to, but I don't believe we cut all the funding for those types of things.
I honestly don't even know where to begin with that statement. Every time I think we are getting in a place where more of us have a greater recognition of the effects of poverty on children, some government official makes an asinine statement like this one. I can just hear the cocktail party now. Those kids just need to exhibit a growth mindset, show a little growth, and in 12 years they'll be able to buy their own food. We just need to have higher expectations for them. The truth is, we should be investing more in after-school programs and not less. Extracurricular activities are one of the rare places that everyone can recognize the benefits. Why do you think wealthier parents spend so much money to have their kids participate? It's where kids learn those soft skills like teamwork, leadership, and sociability. Many researchers believe that soft skills and extracurricular participation are as important as hard skills and formal schooling in explaining educational attainment and earnings 10 years later. Now, the funny thing is, as Robert Putnam points out in his book, Our Kids, 50 years ago, offering opportunities for all kids to take part in extracurricular activities was recognized as an important part of a public school's responsibility to its students, their parents, and the wider community. No one talked about soft skills, but voters and school administrators understood that football, chorus, and the debate club taught valuable lessons that could be open to all kids, regardless of their family background. I think some people need to be reminded of that. In Knoxville this week, the school board announced a new superintendent. 9 years ago, Bob Thomas came one vote short of being named superintendent of Knox County Schools. This week, he had four votes to spare. This news made many in Knoxville very happy. Unfortunately, it appears that the Knoxville News Sentinel is not among those. They refer to the selection as an endorsement of the status quo. On former director McIntyre, they wrote, from Boston with degrees from schools in Massachusetts and New York, he was an agent of change. He pushed rigor and accountability driven by his own and the school board's agenda, as well as a reform-minded legislator. Student performance rose, but so did pressure on teachers. Put those two passages together, and if I'm playing Ed Reform Bingo, I just won. The real winners, though, are the teachers of Knoxville, and by de facto, the students and their families. Finally, a school board has recognized that teachers' issues are student issues. More and more, we are recognizing the importance of culture on outcome. For evidence of this, we need to look no further than the sporting world, where recent champions in college basketball, baseball, and college football have all been led by men who recognize the power of a positive culture. Here's a tip of the hat to the Knoxville School Board for recognizing the same. Let's head to the state capitol for some more positive news. Tennessee is now down to one voucher bill, as Knoxville Rep. Bill Dunn's bill died in committee, while a more expansive voucher-like measure was tabled until next year. And the sponsor of a third bill, which would expand another voucher-like program for special education students, pulled that proposal from consideration as well. That's all according to Chalkbeat Tennessee writer Grace Tattert. If you don't read Grace, then you definitely need to. She does a great job with Chalkbeat Tennessee. Last standing was the Memphis pilot plan. This voucher plan would only affect students in Memphis. It passed out of the education committee in front of a packed house 8-4, which is better than expected because the word in the hallway was that it would be a wider margin. Those that made it into the room were treated to quite the verbal barrage, as Representative DeBerry from Memphis seemed to have mistaken his seat on the committee as a pulpit. My favorite was when he spoke of round lies and then proceeded to tell some.
My dad had told me one time when he had caught me in a lie. He said, and I talk on and on and on because I'm kind of good at it. And my dad said, wait a minute, boy. He said, you tell him one of those round lies. And I looked at him puzzled. He said, you don't know where that lie starts. You don't know where that lie ends. You just talking. We talk so long about the system, education system. We've talked about it so long, we don't know where the facts began and the facts end. My responsibility as an elected official is not to protect a profession. You have no more ethical right to come up here and twist public policy for your profession than does truck drivers to come up here and twist transportation dollars for theirs. We respect teachers because they work within what we choose as public policy to educate our children. But if you're talking about a system, then that's where you lose me. So at the end of the day.
Luckily, Representative Ackberry was on hand to provide some actual facts.
With all due respect to my colleague, I don't deal in anecdotes. I deal in facts. And this voucher program has been around. A voucher program has been around in other states, and I have yet to see facts that suggest that it's doing anything that will improve the outcome of the child. I don't talk in systems. I talk in children, and that's what my ultimate goal is. I might not have been here as long as many, but this has been the top topic that I have been researching and studying, and that's the reason why I connect with other legislators, because I want to know what's going on. Because I think that the most important thing is, before you start something new, you see where it's been and how it's achieved, and if it hasn't, then that's not something that you move forward.
It should be noted that none of the public who spoke were in favor of the plan. It now moves to the Finance Committee. The next bill that all eyes need to be on is HB 310 SB 1197. This bill is quietly making its way through the legislation. What it does is allow for local districts to charge an annual fee that is a percentage of the charter school per student rate and local funding. The annual authorizer fee shall be lesser of 3% of the annual per student state and local allocations, or $35,000 per school. This could mean almost an extra $1 million for Nashville and Memphis school districts. The bill would also create a charter school facilities fund, where schools can apply for grants to assist with school facility needs. In total, the bill will cost the state about $6 million in non-recurring funds in the 2017-18 school year to create a charter school facilities fund. The money was specified under the governor's budget and will be invested by the Tennessee Treasury, according to the bill's fiscal note. This is one part of Bill Haslam's education plans. Once established, it's not unreasonable to expect the fund would grow. When so many local schools are in dire need of capital improvement, it's unclear to me why we would create a fund to assist specifically charter schools with facilities funding. Granted, it's currently a minuscule amount, but with a $1 billion surplus, shouldn't the state be making funds larger and available to all schools? This particular piece of legislation is a comprehensive bill to ensure we have high-quality charters in Tennessee, said Education Commissioner Candace McQueen. It increases accountability and ensures strong oversight. The proposed legislation would require districts across the state adhere to national best practices in authorizing charter schools, said Elizabeth Fivish, Assistant Commissioner of Policy and Legislative Affairs. Now, I would argue here that how charter expansion is handled should be up to the local district. This feels like an overreach by the state and definitely bears watching. The last thing local districts need is to have their hands further tied when it comes to charter school expansion. Locally here in Nashville, it's been a quiet week as everybody is on spring break. I took some time to review Dr. Joseph's first proposed budget, and have to say, I think it's a pretty good one. It devotes money to increase pay for teachers, including substitutes. It also expands both the gifted programming and English language services. And it also falls short of my predicted billion-dollar ask. That's all cause for a little optimism. If you'd like more info, District 5 Metro Nashville School Board member Christian Bugs invites you to come learn about the new budget proposal and address concerns regarding the district. Christian will host a series of community meetings to answer questions about the upcoming 2017-2018 budget proposal. All sessions are open to all community members. Dates, times, and locations for those are on the Metro School Facebook page, or you can just drop me a line at norinrad10@yahoo.com, and I'll get you the information. The first one is on the 25th at East Precinct House from 12:30 to 2 p.m. Also, MNPS's Encore program will be hosting a parents' meeting on Thursday, March 30th at 6 p.m. at West End Middle. This one will catch up parents on all the new and potential great things that will be happening with Encore next year. A couple shout-outs we need to give. Buena Vista Enhanced Option Elementary's own Megan McGuire received praise from the law enforcement community for her work as a Community Achieved Site Manager. She is a 2016 U.S. Attorney's Office Award of Excellence in Public Service recipient. She accepted the award at a special event held on Thursday, March 9th, organized by the United States Attorney's Office for Middle Tennessee. Community Achieves acts as a bridge in schools with the resources and supports families need, connecting them to community partners, agencies, and other services, while focusing on four key areas: family engagement, college and career readiness, health and wellness, as well as social services. There are currently 24 schools that have a Community Achieves site manager. Congratulations, Megan McGuire. Metro Schools and the Buena Vista community celebrate your work and all you do. Maplewood High School made history on Saturday, March 18th, with the boys basketball team securing the Class AA state championship. They defeated Knoxville Catholic 60-57. This was the first boys basketball title for a Nashville Metro boys team since MLK won in 1996, said Roosevelt Sanders, director of athletics for Metro Schools. Have it. A lot of positive news this week. Here's hoping that's a trend that keeps up. Over the next couple of weeks, I'll have a couple blog posts diving deeper into the importance of extracurricular activities, and also one outlining all the changes and their impact on Title I funding. So keep your eyes peeled for those. Thanks for listening again. Know that I never take that for granted. As always, feel free to send me comments to norinrad10@yahoo.com. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. No episode would be complete without thanking the many professional educators that serve our kids daily. You guys do the heavy lifting. See you next week. For now, I'm out of here.